Amen. Amen. The enemy, praise God, tries to overtake us. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, I've already got the victory. Amen. Amen. Brother Wayne Henderson, praise God, dear friend. Amen. Been a preaching for many, many years now. Amen. 49. Brother Wayne didn't start out in this old-timey way.
Nope.
Amen. He's kind of going the other way. Amen. But the good Lord got a hold of him, praise God, and brought him in this good old-time way. And he's not only my friend, praise God, he's been a teacher to me. Amen.
Right.
And he's weak this morning, I know. Amen. But what's inside him ain't weak.
No,
that's right. this old body, praise God, wires out. But thank God, what's on the inside? If you're seeking after God, it gets stronger by the journey. Amen. The longer and the harder the journey, the stronger. Amen. That inner man. Amen. If you follow the Lord. And I appreciate this dear preacher. Amen. I can't say enough about his friendship. Amen. But he's been a help to me, and I praise God for him. Amen. Amen. I first met Brother Wayne, I thought, I don't like him. I said, he's a smart aleck. But I found out he's just like me. Amen. So, amen. And I appreciate Brother Wayne. Amen. And I do say, praise God, he's a man of very much, amen, knowledge. And if you'll give him your attention this morning, he'll help you. Amen. I mean, you get him where he's at, praise God. And just listen, amen. Don't be moving around, running in and out. Just hook up with a man of God and let him help your heart. I don't know anybody's need here this morning, but I realize in a number of this side, praise God, there's somebody with needs today. Amen. Whether you be lost, whether you be burdened down, whatever it might be, you let God speak to your heart this morning, and he'll help you. Amen. Come on, Brother Wayne, you mind the Lord. Yes, sir.
What we need to do is get in that altar and get a washing, every one of us.
Amen.
Ain't nobody in this building doesn't need a washing in that altar. If we're going to get to God, we need to get them up there down here.
Amen.
Where it's at.
God help us too. Amen.
That's up to y'all.
Amen. The altar's open anytime you want to use it. Amen. The man of God ain't going to bother him one bit if you hit this altar while he's a preacher. Amen. You come on, Brother Wayne, take us up.
Say what Mike said's right. That's what my heart's telling me. I'll give you a thought that I hadn't done nothing with yet. I always like to come here to this meeting, and my life, I've prayed my way to messages, and God gave me a message. Okay, give me two messages for this service today. One of them I hadn't worked on, but I want you to stop a minute and consider why you're not thrilled to death to be in church.
Amen.
That's something to think about. You know, one of the best things you ever did is stop and count the tree, look around. What's going on? I was going to preach this morning, and I ain't sure I won't, but God gave me this last Saturday. Not this Saturday, but last Saturday. On standing on the edge of hopelessness. Buddy, some of you are standing there. But I don't know that I'll preach that, but the other message he gave me is just what I said. Why are we not thrilled to death to be saved? That's something to think about right there. What is it? I thought a lot about it now, Greg. I mean, I thought a lot about it. Why are you not singing as you go? Why are you not thrilled to death to come in the presence of a sinner and testify for the Lord? Huh? It's because you don't have the values on things you should have. Say, what have you got that's worth anything? Well, I got a nice car. I tell you what you've got that's worth anything. It's a blood-bought relationship to God Almighty, buddy. If you come to a place and you've got a mansion, and it came to a place where you had to give your your most prized possession. You would probably give that mansion. But the most prized possession you've got, if you're saved, is that you're going to heaven. And you don't know when. You might be going today. Poor old Brother Blue, a month ago, probably didn't think he probably just have a little surgery and go right on. But he probably never stand behind another pulpit. I think he's been preaching longer than me, has he, Totsie? I've been preaching 49 years. Stop a minute and think about that, Keith. Why are you not thrilled to death? Why aren't you not singing? Why aren't you thrilled to be saved and testify? Tell about what God's done for you. You hear singing like that right there. And it's talking about everything you've got. Isn't that right? What about the girls singing right here? These ladies and this little trio singing. My goodness, everything they sung is enough to kick the ceilings out. You know that?
That's right.
It's ours. Hope beyond all other hope. We have hope. All right, you're not going to hell. Man, how close were you to going to hell? I'm just thinking, if we'd just stop and think a minute. You don't even have to be preached to. Just stop and think about that. Here's what I thought about. I started thinking. I wanted to worship the Lord. I started thinking one time, and it's been several years ago. I pray in a recliner now. I used to run around out the dirt road. I sat down that morning, and I said, Lord, I want to worship you today. Now, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to say it much because He's looking for you to worship. It says plain as day, He seeketh such to worship Him. You don't have to hunt Him down. You don't have to groan and moan. All you have to do is say, I am hungry to worship you. And mean it. And while I was laying there in that dark, about 4:30, 3:30, 4:30 that morning, buddy, it started coming to me, all the things that I threw my life away after. He brought them decisions in my mind that I wish to God I'd have never made. I mean, I started thinking about that, and then I said, Lord, do you forgive people of that? Did you forgive me of that? He said, oh, I saw that in you when you got saved. I said, why would you love me like that? And so I fell in love with Him. Why would He love you? I mean, listen, it's like marrying. I know two or three people that married girls that were having affairs with boys when they said, I do. I got a friend down the way. He's lost. I'm going to have to go see him, but I'm going to wait for the Lord. He's got a boy that loves me to death. I mean, loves me. Saves. Go to church. His name's Donnie. I go in and talk to him. He's always talking about the Lord. And Donnie said, boy, Wayne, he said, I wished you'd have been around. I wanted you to marry us. And I'm glad I wasn't, because they wasn't right with God. And I don't do that. So God got me out of it. So here's Donnie married. He's having a good time. About 2 weeks, I walked in that place, and Donnie said, I said, how's it going, Donnie? He said, bad. I said, what happened? He said, you believe, Brother Wayne, when I married that girl, she was having an affair on me? That's going on everywhere. He married her. He didn't find God's will. And for heaven's sake, you know she didn't find God's will. What a bad turn in life. What a hateful, critical, life-blasting turn that is. To destroy your years of testimony, years of life. But yet the Lord loves you. And He said, I know you messed up, but I'll take what you got. And I'll make the best out of it. Now, why ain't you shouting now? Why ain't you singing the praise of God? I mean, I know I'm right about that. I went there for weeks. Sit down in that chair at night, and I'd say, Lord, and that didn't just stop with that one decision. It's another one, and another one, and another one. And He didn't bring them to me, a bunch of them. He just brought them to me one at a time. Are you thinking now, can you not join me with this here? He said, enter into this with Him. Can you not stop a minute and look back? Just reflect back. Look in the rearview mirror of your life and see where you made a cruddy, criminal, filthy, wicked mistake of your life. You did. Do you remember? Do you remember what it was? You don't have to tell nobody. Do you remember what it was? I asked the Lord about it. I said, Lord, can you forgive me today for something I'd done 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago? Do you forgive me today for that? He said, if you repent of it, I can. I said, well, you can write that down, buddy. I've repented of that, sitting in this chair after I got saved, called to preach and everything else. I don't want that coming back up. How much do I love that lady right there? I love that woman. I love my wife. I don't want her to have to watch what I have done in my life. She already knows pretty near, but why? Why has she got to watch that? I don't believe you're going to hell over it, but I can tell you one thing. You'll regret. You'll repent of it before you get done. That's what I think. I said, can I repent of that now? He said, yes. That's where that sermon come from. You remember that. Man, I repented. I said, oh God, I fell in love with Him. I fell in love with my wife again. All that stuff came up at one time because God was trying to get me where I could worship Him. He wants you to worship Him. He seeketh such to worship Him. John 4 said, seeketh such truth, spirit and truth. You can't just say I'm worshiping. You've got to have it in your heart. Don't you want it today? Don't you want it right now? Man, I want to tear the place up, spell right now. You can have it. You just stop and think what you did, and what He looked at you in kindness and smiled and said, "I loved you." Let me sing you a song. You can y'all okay if I sing a special? I ain't too good now. I mean, I forget my parts and everything, and I'm not on target all the time. In the beginning, God spoke His creative words. He said, let there be light and let the heavens appear. He made the stars and the moon, the earth. Scooped out the big old canyons with His hands and made rivers, courses for the rivers with His fingers. Made the mountains to stand tall and still. Then He made a sadness come in His eyes and He made a small lonely hill. Then He said, let us make man in our own image and give him dominion over it all. We will walk together in the cool of the evening and I will help him if he should fall. But I want him to love me because he really wants to walk with me by his own will. Then a slight trace of sadness came back into his eyes as he looked toward that small lonely hill. Then late one evening, God came to the garden. Adam, Adam, where art thou? He cried. The birds had hushed their singing. In the garden there was silence. You could just sense it. Something had died. But God said, I love him and I won't let him go. Then a shadow on that hillside appeared. For a man hung there, dying, crying, I thirst. God turned his back on that small, lonely hill. Now I thank God for these mountains, and I thank him for the rivers, and at the heavens, how my heart always thrills. But when I step into that city, where the angels, all saints, all praise Him, then I'll praise Him for that small, lonely hill. Don't you think that's right, church? Don't you think that's right? He came after you in that tangled wilderness that you were hiding in. He came after you tenderly. He said, I know you're bad off. I said, Lord, I know a boy, Brother Ken, stayed 14 years out of God's will. So you can't do that. Well, won't you figure it out for yourself? A lot of people stayed away from God. If he was saved, I hope he was. I told him, I said, Carl, when you get right with God, it'll be better than it was when you got saved, when you first got saved, if you're not saved. He said, you think it will? I said, it will. He got right last year. 62 years old. He said, Wayne, I want to learn the Bible like you know it. I said, Carl, you waited an awful long time, buddy. But I said, it ain't impossible. God will help you if you want it. He said, how did you learn it? I said, it took me 40 or 50 years to learn how to study the Bible and teach it like I do. I don't know. You're going to have to get with it. He bought all the books. Word study books so he can teach. He put him up. He's a truck mechanic. He put a trailer out and tore all the walls out. Put him a desk in there and put all of his books in there. And he spends as much time as he can. Works on them trucks and makes a good money. But he goes in there alone. Them greasy fingers. And that broken heart. Tender heart. And searches God out. Sends me a text every now and then what he found. You know something? We are missing out on it. We're sitting here. We're about all dried up like a prune. Let's don't be that way. I'm going to tell you, buddy, you have revival when you want revival. You can have it today. You just stop and start thinking what God has done for you. What God has done for you. I'm going to tell you a statement I make very often. Totsie knows it is. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. Comes down from God. You listen to me. The devil may feed you, but God made him do that. The devil may give you money, but God made him give it to you. That's exactly right. If you get a good gift, I don't care what it is. It's God that made him give it to you. You got it because God loves you. We're not worshiping God because it's no value to us. I saw several men this week coming up here or somewhere carrying guns on their side. I ain't against that. I'm for that. What are you carrying that gun for? So somebody won't steal my money or my car or something like that. I asked a boy one day, had a big one of them big Mustangs that changes colors. I said, man, that thing changes colors. I said, will you call the police? What color are you going to... What are you going to tell them the color? He said, I'll tell them it's the one that's got them big 380 holes on the back of it where he shot it. Boy, what value he's got. What treasures he's got in that four-legged Mustang. Huh? What treasures do you have? In heaven, laid up in heaven, that you're so thankful to have. Sing when you get up here and sing. When you sing out there, sing. Put your heart in. Sing. Because He loves you. He took you where you were, buddy. He came to me. I'll tell you what, I had a bad run after I got saved. But one golden day, buddy, I walked back in a church. Oh, my. I knew He was there. I knew somebody was there. I hadn't messed with much. And these years for probably, what, Totsie, 55 years, 50, over 50. He's made His way into my life more and more and more and more. Today, I'm so happy to be saved. I talked to Him this morning. We talked in loving words to each other this morning. I'd rather worship than anything. The greatest thing you ever did is worship God. Get humble before Him and brag on Him and talk how sweet He is to you. How could you not be happy this morning? You want me to flip the switch off and preach on the other one? Standing right on the edge of hopelessness. You know what? When you die as a Christian and it's over with, you've got all you're going to get. You planted all the seeds you're going to plant, you reaped all the harvest you're ever going to get to harvest. Look back. You know what a fellow said to me the other day? Oh, no, he said it to the whole church. He stood up. He was teaching Sunday school. I think it was in Doug's church. He said, God tells me every now and then, and when I go to heaven, He's going to look and say, I'm going to show you all the things I wanted to give you and you wouldn't let me. You turned the wheel and done something else. All the things that I had for you and you didn't believe me for them. Your faith wouldn't accept them. What a deal. Why don't you get right today? Won't you just get right today? Tell Him how much you love Him. Worship Him. Worship Him today. Go out somewhere and be alone. If you're embarrassed to do it among us, how would you do it in public if you can't do it here among your brothers and sisters? Hold them up. Shout. What they say is right in them songs. That song she sung. What was that song in the middle there, Lori? In the middle. Totsie, what was it? Right in the middle of the last song you sung a little phrase from an old-time gospel song. What was it? Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Wasn't that nice? Right in the middle of that Sweet Hour of Prayer. Why don't you go off alone somewhere? But you could do that right here. And get you a place alone where nobody bothers you. And sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. It calls me from a world of care. Does too. Well, Brother Ken, I'm going to go ahead and preach this other message, but I'm telling you, buddy, you better find you an altar. Get it right. Look in the mirror and see what you are. See who you are. See why you're not happy. See why you're more happy with a good deal down at Walmart than you are coming into church. You got it and didn't cost you nothing. Better do that. Well, I mean, I'm not against that. I mean, Wes got him a truck, and that's good. And he got a good deal on it. But I can tell you, the deal you got better than that. When God took you up out of the filthy pit of sin you were in, and put you in another home and another family, it's the best thing we ever had happen to us. We ought to worship, buddy. I'm going to see him. I don't know when. Brother Blue's going to beat me, I guess, but I'm going to see him, and I'm telling you, I'm anxious to see what he's got for me. I'm going to get to see him. I don't care if he's got anything else. If I can just see him, I'm telling you, it's going to erase every negative that I ever thought about having. Just to see the Lord and to find out that this way is real. Isn't that good? To find out that we've been on the right road. One of the best things I ever did, Brother John, I made my mind up that I was going to follow after truth. If I could find truth, I didn't care what anybody else said. I want truth. That's what I wanted, truth. I don't care what anybody else says. You can criticize me. If I can find truth, you can do what you want to do. Truth's all I wanted. That's why I ended up in the King James Bible. That's why I ended up in this church, this kind of church. Truth. I was taught by the others, but I come looking for truth. And that search for truth made me search this book for truth. It really did. So now stop a minute and think a minute. The truth. Let's think about the truth. How close are you to hopelessness? There's a lot of people there. The Bible's got all kinds of admonitions. He said, harden not your heart. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart as they did in provocation. What's He talking about? He's talking about when they were at Kadesh Barnea and the Lord had said, apparently He had sort of led them to go into Canaan land and kind of survey it and come back and give the report. When they came back and gave the report, It was they had lost their faith. They saw people in there. They said, we can't take them. It's too big. It's too much. And so 600,000 men died. At least 600,000 men died because out of the 12 spies, 10 of them talked them into not going in. 10 of them. Two of them, they about stoned the other two who had faith to go in. So they buried them. Now, you, what y'all do, it's 38 years. You can divide it out and multiply it out. 38 years times 365 days a year. And 38 times that, you can tell that they had funerals incessantly. At least 600,000 of them were buried. I don't think there's some... What are you praying about? I'm trying to figure out what to preach to this next funeral while he's all, there's three waiting. He didn't study nothing. Couldn't study. What did he have? What did he do? What did he say? I don't know what they said. What do you do to a funeral when they're dying so fast you can't keep up with them? 38 years because of unbelief. And how long did it take them to make that decision, do you think? He said, go in and see the land and get ready. There they all are ready, Greg. They're all ready. 12 men come back. 10 say we can't. 2 say we can. And just like that, they decided we're not going in. And Moses said, you've sinned against God. They said, oh yeah, we've sinned against God. We'll go in. He said, too late. He said, you wait, you're too late. If you could see that, visualize, John, here they are standing just like this, and right beside them is hopelessness. Those 600,000 men will never go back into that promised land because of one stupid decision. We went out west when she and I had our 50th anniversary. Wasn't it about our 50th anniversary? Anyway, we went out west. We had a little money, so we went out west, went to Grand Canyon. The first part of the Grand Canyon, Brother Mike tried. He said, don't go down there. And I'm sad we did. We went down there. We come to the Four Corners and saw all those four states right together. Made our way across the desert there a little bit. It was kind of an interesting thing. We come to the first place you could go see that canyon. It wasn't a great canyon. It was 600 feet. We pulled in there and we had to pay because it was Indians. Couldn't use your card. It's just a quarter, though, 50 cents. Wasn't nobody there. It's too early in the morning. Little old boy playing on an Indian flute. So we walked down there to the canyon. Jacob. Me and her. And there was a wood, one of these wood slat fences put around the canyon. And I think there was a wire or two strung in them posts. And I said, honey, I want to take a picture of you. So she turned her back and stood just like this right here. And right there was 600 feet. And you know what the canyon is made out of, all that rock is made out of? It's sandstone. It's mud and sand that's dried for years. That's why it's so big a canyon. It's not an igneous rock or it's not rock that comes out of a volcano. It's just mud and sand that's dried for years. And there she stood. And I could venture to tell you today that she wasn't 8 inches from a 600-foot drop. Now here they are, sitting on the end of a two-year wandering, standing on the edge of Canaan land, backed up just like that right there. And there was a hopelessly horrible pit drop right there. And they said, let's go in. Two of them did, and the rest of them said, we can't go in. And they stepped right back into it. And they never got in. They never got in. At least 600,000 of them. Moses down there, and they're crying for water. Water, water, water. That rock followed them, according to Paul. Gushed water out. Water. Why would they want water? So they got Moses mad. Got their Moses mad. God said, speak to the rock. He smote the rock. There he is again, standing right on the edge. Just one little move. He made it. Stepped off. Said, you can't go in there either, Moses. Oh, please let me go. He said, no. He asked him a second time. He said, don't talk to me about this anymore. You're not going. Saved? Sure. Led the great army of Israel out? Sure. Went up into the presence of God 2 or 3 times, 40 days and nights, no food, no water. with God in the flame and the smoke and flame and fire of God. One move. Stepped off the edge. Saved people do it too. You take this. Raise your kids. This is America today, and it's not the America I was raised in. Every man and woman that got married knew how to correct a child when I was a boy. I raised my girls, right there's one of them. When I put my finger up and said, that's one, it meant one whipping. And I'm very much concerned that they don't grit their teeth and get mad at me, Marilyn, for whipping them. So I didn't just whip them, I whooped them. And they was kind of happy when I quit. And I love my kids, but I'm going to tell you something, buddy. They were not going to run my house. But as soon as I put my children behind the wheel of a car, and they had their own husbands, and they run their own, everybody quit correcting their children. I think they all quit. Even grandmas and grandpas. What are you doing? What are you doing? When you decide, well, my little boy's too sweet. I just can't do that. I just can't do that. I just can't do that. You better make that boy mine. I just can't do that. I've got great grandchildren right now that their parents have stepped off that edge, and their kids are going to never make it. They're never going to make it. They're never going to make it, church. It'd be a pure miracle if one or two of them make it. I pray for them all the time. But I don't see any spark of light coming anywhere. Couple places. You can step off of it. The Bible's full of them. Stepped off of the edge. I got listed them down in my book. They stepped off the edge of hopelessness. No hope, no chance. Backed off into a black, empty, hopeless situation. I don't know if you can think about that or not. I know a lot of sinners. You can't talk to them about the Lord. And you say, "Well, Brother Wayne, when they commit that sin, do they always die?" No, sir. I don't believe they die like J. Harold Smith. I believe B.H. Carroll said they live on. You can't touch them with nothing. Preached to them all their life. They died hell bound, and that's all. They cannot get out of it because they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. They said no to Him when He asked them to come. When He spoke to them about getting on an altar, they said, "Well, I don't know," whatever they did. But their minds were locked. Hopeless, backed up to hopelessness. My Lord, how close did I come to hopelessness? How long did you come? How far? How close? How close are you? How close are you in here? It's got to be going on. It's got to be happening. Say, Brother Wayne, you don't know everybody. I'm going to tell you one thing. I know, man, I've preached long enough to know that people are like that. Well, I'm not going. I'll tell you one thing. They won't find me on that altar. I ain't going. Do as you please. I can't do nothing about it. God won't do anything about it except lock you out forever. Amen. Forget it. You ain't getting it. I don't want Him to do that to me. No, buddy. Let me give you an illustration. Let's stop and think about this. If you don't think about the things you read in the Bible, you're really missing it, because there's plenty said. He said, "In that day they shall come to me, they shall come, and they'll say, Lord, did we not prophesy in Thy name? Did we not cast out devils in Thy name? Did we not do many mighty works in Thy name?" Now, you know they're in a group. I thought about it again last night. They're in a big group. Thousands there, no doubt. And they look around and they say, "Well, there's some folks. They go to church. And I went to church with those folks right there. But, oh, there's some folks right there, buddy. I've heard them cuss a streak, and they're mean as a devil. Bless them. And, man, I'm telling you, they're mean. Why are they in this crowd? We're over here to be, the doors to be opened, let us in heaven, I guess. Some reason. Why are they in this thing? And he says, and what about you? I don't know if he said that. Well, Lord, we prophesied in thy name. We preached in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We've done lots of work. And I believe that Jerry Jenkins in that book Left Behind had the character of God marked right. They mark him as loving God. The Bible said God is love. So if they are right, and they are right, then pretty much so, he's going to look at them and say, with tender eyes, and say, but children, I never knew you. I never knew you. Not only that, but all that you did was just work in iniquity.
Amen.
And you have to depart from me.
Oh my.
How would you like to hear that? Religious people are going to hear that.
Right.
Those people are religious. And they've done more than I've done. They cast out devils, preached, prophesied in His name, cast out devils, done many. I would dare not say that, Miss Beverly, that I've done many mighty works in His name. I'm ashamed of what I've done. Surely you are.
Amen.
This is serious business, church. It means more than a three-piece suit and a nice new car.
Sure.
Buddy, we're talking about the most wonderful thing that a human can have happen to him, as opposed to the worst thing that a human could have happen to him. Don't you want to see your place at the altar and say, Lord, change my life. Change my life. Ask my wife there. That's how I got my life changed. I went alone and I said, Lord, change my life. I want all that I can get. Give me all that you can give me. Please do that. And the first thing he did was start telling me what he had taken me out of and made me thankful that he had loved me anyway. Just think of the fornication and adultery that's been committed among the families or the supposed families of God. So they don't do that. You're crazy. Buddy, the thing is full. We're filled up with it. Preachers running off with women.
Sure.
Happening every day. Leaving a church. I don't know. There ain't nothing wrong. Everything's okay. Watch where they go and see what they do. I'm going to tell you, buddy, and I'll tell you how it is. I don't have a tender heart for the guy that's going to be their pastor because he ain't got enough sense to straighten his own life out, let alone my kids. So I'm pretty hard right there. I've tried not to be now. But I remember when Jesus was. He said, you stand in the door. You won't let anybody else in and you won't go in yourself. He nailed them to the wall, buddy. He was aggravated with them because they just had mediocre. Nothing real good to it. Just stand in the door, gripe and complain so others can't get in. I tell you, church, we really need help. We really need help. You say, Brother Wayne, what can a church our size do? I tell you what 12 men did.
Listen.
Really is 11.
Yeah.
And really is one, Paul. He cracked the foundation of the Roman Empire with the gospel. One man. Wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Wrote the greatest book on being saved by grace in the whole world in Romans. The greatest exposition of salvation by grace through faith that's ever been written is in 4 or 5 chapters of Romans. You take a liberal that's lost and don't believe anything, they'll have to say that little piece right there of that Bible,
yes, sir,
is way beyond anything that we know anything about.
Yeah.
I sat in one's class, the finest liberal, unbelieving, modernist professor you ever saw in your life. He said that right there. Said he changed his whole Bible for 4 or 5 chapters and then he didn't really believe them. Oh, God help us. I want to ask you today, I probably feel like I haven't done you any good. I've been kind of corrective to you. I tell you, I wish somebody had got me thinking about what was going on in my life. Why are you like you are? Why have you got thoughts that nobody knows going on inside your head? God knows they're there. You run into hard times. What's God doing? He's going after them thoughts.
Yeah.
He'll get them too. I said to him after he whipped me, maybe the last time, I think it was the last time, I said, "Lord, if you'll just tell me, but don't whip me no more. Please don't whip me no more. Don't put me through a hardship like a vice that I can't get out of. Please don't whip me anymore. If you'll just show me, I'll get it took care of. If you'll just show me." When he gets done with you, if you don't feel that way, you go back and do it again. He won't quit till it's done. But you know what? Today, I just tell you the truth. He don't ever whip me no more. And I'm going to tell you, if I go one day and I don't have a tender expression with him, I think I'm backslid. I run off by myself and I say, "Oh, it's been bad, Lord. It's been dark days. The clouds are over me. You got to help me real quick." He always helps me because he loves me. And I tell you what else. You believe all this? Y'all believe this? You think I'm lying to you? I get along with him and start telling him how much I think of him. He's pretty. He's beautiful. You ain't got no words. You know what you see out of that Wesley? You see him smile. He loves to be loved. I see my wife. I'll say, "Totsie, you're so pretty. Look at her right there. She's going to laugh. 77 years old." I say, "You're so pretty." She laughs. She likes to be told that. If she likes to be told that, what do you think he likes? Do you not think that he likes to be told that he's better than that Mach 4 Mustang you was wishing you had? Huh? He's the best thing ever happened to you. He really is. We're going to have to get back to doing that. J.D., we're going to have to get back to thinking who we've got is the real stuff. He's the wonderful Savior, the Lord, the King. And it's three there. It's the Father who thought this up, but He wouldn't come here. He let His Son come. It took three of them to get you saved.
Right.
Whew. He became sin for us. He didn't bear our sin. It says that. But He became sin. Why? You know that whole story? He became sin for us who knew no sin. You know what the rest of that verse is? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, what does God see when He sees Dale or any of you? If you're saved, you know what He sees? He sees a righteous person, as righteous as He Himself is. Say, "I don't feel righteous." I know. He knows that too. But He fixed it so you are righteous. Not only that, when you got saved, I'm teaching my book now. I'll quit. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost baptized you according to 1 Corinthians 12. I think it's the first. It might be second. Buried you in baptism. You don't bury living people. You bury dead people. So He buried you. You died. But you're not dead. He resurrected you back. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And Christ liveth in me. Resurrected you back up, Greg. He brought you back up. Now, you look like Greg. But God said, "Oh yeah, Wayne, I know he looks like Greg, but he ain't Greg. He's a creature." You probably think he is too, don't you? Look at him. Think he's a creature. He is a creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new... That word is creature. He's a creature. I'm a creature. I'm an alien. I'm a foreigner. I'm not part of the human race anymore. I'm going to leave out. We say, Brother Wayne, why does this sin have so much dominion? That's your fault, not his. It will never send you to hell because it's done been destroyed, burned off by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all gone. Well, why does it have dominion? It's because you let it. If it keeps bothering you and you hound the Lord about it, He'll chip it off of you. But it won't never change your standing with God. You're righteous. Righteous, sealed with the Holy Ghost. Yet I live, yet not I live, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God, who resurrected my dead, wicked, filthy life, buried it and killed me, and resurrected me to be a little Christ. And if you don't think that's right, when the angel told Mary she's going to give birth to a boy, he said, you know what he said in Luke? He said, that holy thing shall be called the Son of God. And He is. And so are you if you're saved. And you are. We are Christians. We are sons of God. He was essentially and basically God, but you and I are adopted. You know, Brother Mill will be asking you about that. It. Huh? Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. He asked you that? You want the answer? You want the answer? It's the spirit of adoption. And it can be called it. It's not the Holy Spirit, it's the spirit of adoption. Now I have the spirit of adoption. I'm heading to my new home, to my new father, to my new family, adopted in. Hallelujah. Church. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. Are y'all happy? Looks like some of you kind of cheered up a little bit. I go by the bank every now and then. I got two banks. They give me a free account and give her a free account. We put our Social Security in that account, and she spends it so fast I got to help her. Some, no, not much really. And I put mine in the other account, my love offerings. So I like her bank better, but I can't have it there. It's a big old international bank. It's not a local bank. I have it anyway because I like the girls. You know, I like them girls. One guy said, "You got some girls in there." I said, "You Peckerwood, God kill me if he thought I had that." I take about a $3 bag of chocolates, go up to the window, and I say, "Y'all looking pretty sour today. Better have some of these chocolates right here." Now, I don't have to do it about every month or two. I'll drive in. One of those girls' name's Kim. She's always wondering how church is going and where I've been preaching. She's a sweet Christian. She eats Butterfingers. The other day I pulled in, I said, "Kim, buddy, I ain't give you any Butterfingers in a long time." She said, "Yeah, I know, Brother Wayne." So I was downtown, done a little work, come back, I bought her a little stick of Butterfingers. And then I got the rest of them, a big old bag of Mix-It-Ups. Sweet, wonderful things. That's how God feels about you when you drop them sweet thoughts into Him. Drop them in the plate and say, "You looking pretty sour today, Father. Thought you might like to have some of this." You know He's never looking sour. He likes for you to give Him them candies, though. Amen. Amen. I've wasted your time, but you got it, buddy. I've done my best. Come on, take it out of my hands. I've done my best, church.
Amen. Brother Wayne.